Tristis te tiperlaya sadhana shakir eka. Chayeva yasya bhuvanani bibarti durga. Ichanu rupa mapi yasya chacheshchate sa govinda mari purusham tamaham bhajami. So first, before we can glorify or hear about Shambhu, we have to hear about Shakti. Because that's the Sikh first Radha, then Krishna, first Durga, then Shambhu. So this section of verses, for these nine verses, Krishna is the Supreme Lord of all lords. First we hear about the gradations of the universe, and we hear about Durga and Shambhu, and then the different presiding deities, and then Ananta Shesha, and then Mahavishnu's breath, Lord Brahma, Ganesh, and then finally Govinda is the basis of all these elements and everything. So these whole group of verses are simply for us to understand how Krishna is the supreme. He's the Purna Bhagavan. Because maybe not so much for the West, but if we have any experience or we want to have any experience with preaching, we'll meet many people that believe that Durga is supreme, that Ganesh is supreme, that Shambhu or Shiva is supreme, or Brahma is supreme, or Vishnu is supreme. So Lord Brahma is trying to, through these different verses, establish the supremacy of Govinda and the subordination and subservience of all these other various demigods or sublords of the material world. Text 44, translation. The external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of the mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. Another translation for that, verse 44. The shadow of the internal or spiritual potency is personified as the Maya potency, external potency, who carries out the function of creating, maintaining, and destroying the material world. She is worshipped in this world as Durga, and she acts according to the desires of her master, namely the Supreme Lord Govinda. Purport. The aforesaid presiding deity of Devi Dham is being described. So the previous verse talked about Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham, Hari Dham, and Goloka Dham. So now these verses now will describe the lords of those regions. So this is the lady of the region, Durga Devi. The world in which Brahma takes his stand and hymns the Lord of Goloka is Devi Dham, consisting of the 14 worlds, and Durga is its presiding deity. Another way that can be said is, this world in which Brahma is situated and singing the glories of the Lord of Goloka is the world of 14 planes, or Devi Dham, of which Durga is the presiding deity. Durga has 10 arms, which represent the tenfold fruit of activities. In other words, when you see, there's so much symbology, when you see a picture, it isn't as if a lady dresses up for a dance or to go out and she dresses in a certain way. She says, oh, I think it would be nice to put this bangle over here. And I'll put this little thing in my hair over here. No, this looks nice. I'll put that behind my ear. And in a very random way, for no other purpose than design or good looks or attractiveness, she dresses. But when you see posters of different devatas and they're carrying different weapons and different symbols, there's a lot of meaning behind it, what they represent. It's not just a casual, it's not like Durga just decides to, well, today I'm going to wear a tiger skin, and I'm going to sit on a horse, on a lion, I'm going to sit on a lion, side saddle on a lion. and I'm gonna deck out myself with 10 arms. I'll take a sword in this one, and a chopper in this one, and a dagger in this one. It's not a random thing. It's all has particular symbology and meaning, and it's very much thought about and important. That's why when artists paint the various devatas or devis and forms of the Lord, they must be fully acquainted with the proper shastras. Otherwise, they make speculations. We were often advising the Russian artists, who although technically are fairly good artists, but they're not so learned in the shastras, at least when they first started. So they would paint Lord Chaitanya like sannyas lila with a Brahmin thread, but he had no Brahmin thread in a sannyas lila. Or they would paint him with no neck beads. There's no Tulsi Kanti on his neck. So there's so many different things that have to be there, and otherwise it's incorrect and it's not the proper representation of whom you're trying to represent. She rides on a lion, which represents her heroic prowess. She tramples down or subdues vice. She tramples down Mahish Asura, representing the subduer of vices. In other words, she, Durga, subdues or destroys vice and sin, which is represented by her punishing the demon known as Mahishasura. So you see this head of this guy under her foot, or under the foot of, sometimes under the foot of the lion usually, sometimes under her foot or under the foot of the lion. So with her foot, she's just pushing down this demon. Durga is the mother of two sons. Her two sons are Kartikeya and Ganesh. We know Kartikeya. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, among generals I am, among commanders in chief, army commanders in chief I am. Skanda. Skanda is another name for Kartikeya, the son of Lord Shiva and Durga. She has the mother of two sons, Kartikeya and Ganesh, which indicate her to be the possessor of the two opulences which they represent, beauty and success. So she's the mother of Kartikeya and Ganesh. Kartikeya is very handsome and beautiful, and Ganesh is the source of material success. So her being the mother of these two sons, which represent beauty and success, indicates that she is the actual source of beauty and success. She's the possessor. Durga is placed between Lakshmi and Saraswati, representing mundane opulence and mundane knowledge. Right? There's Divya Saraswati, the wife of Lord Narayan, who represents transcendental knowledge. Then there's the mundane or material Saraswati, who represents material knowledge. She's the daughter of Brahma, sometimes referred to as the wife of Brahma. But Savitri is considered to be the wife, and Saraswati is the daughter of Brahma. She is placed between Lakshmi and Saraswati, representing mundane opulence and mundane knowledge. Durga is armed with 20 weapons, representing the 20 Dharma Shastras. There's 20 different Dharma Shastras. The various pious activities enjoined by the Vedas for suppression of vices. Vices means sins and bad qualities and like that. Durga holds a snake, representing the beauty of destructive time. In other words, she holds a snake which represents time, the destroyer of everyone. That's why no one can hold on to time. You can't hold on to your time. Your time has got you by the neck. Time is clutching us by the neck. You know, okay, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50, pop. Time I am, I've come to destroy everything, right? Kalasmi. So, like no one can hold time by the neck, although people try, but just like try to hold a snake. No, no. Because holding, you know, it's not possible. So snake represents this. Such is Durga, possessing all these different features or manifold forms. Durga also possesses a Durga, or a prison house. Or what it says here, Durga is possessed of Durga, which means a prison house. It means that she possesses. In other words, she owns a prison house. She's a warden. She's a prison warden. She has a really big prison house. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen Durga's prison house? We're in it. Maybe not here, not in Vrindavan, but this lotus flower of Vrindavan is floating above the material universe. When the whole universes are destroyed, Vrindavan is not destroyed. But the whole material world is her prison house. When Jiva is begotten or born of the marginal potency Tattvastu Shakti, forget the service of Krishna, they are confined in the mundane prison house, the citadel of Durga. The wheel of karma is the instrument of punishment at this place. The work of purifying these penalized jivas is the duty devolved upon Durga. In other words, in this prison, by the desire of Govinda, Durga has the thankless task or service of reforming the rebellious jivas by various corrective measures. Durga is incessantly engaged in discharging this service by the order of Govinda, by the will of Govinda. When, luckily, the forgetfulness of Govinda on the part of the imprisoned jivas is remarked by them by coming in contact with self-realized souls, and their natural aptitude for the loving service of Krishna is aroused, Durga herself becomes the agency of their deliverance by the will of Govinda. Mukulitanjali Sevate Sman. And Bilvamangala Thakur, in today's class, he was quoting Bilvamangala Thakur, Madaram Madaram. But there's also another verse, Mukulitanjali Sevate Sman, that the goddess of liberation, Mukuli, she stands with Anjali, she stands behind a devotee with Anjali, with folded hands. Sevate Sman. And she says, I am waiting to serve you. How can I serve you? So when one fully surrenders to the Lord, yayatamam prabhadyante, and becomes a ward of the Lord, becomes under the protection and control of the Lord, then Durga, she no longer punishes or penalizes him or subjects him to corrective measures. Rather, she stands with folded hands and says, how may I serve you? So another way of saying what we just said, when jivas have the good fortune, or when jivas attain good fortune, and by good fortune they attain sarusanga, then their aversity to serving Krishna is removed, and they turn their face towards Krishna. Then the same Durga, by the desire of Govinda, she becomes the cause of their liberation. Now the purport goes on. So it behooves everybody to attain the guileless grace of Durga, the mistress of the prison house, by propitiating her with the selfless service of Krishna. In other words, it is conducive to show the warden of the prison, Durga, one's reformed and favorable attitude to satisfy her and gain her undeceiving grace. Once she sees, it's an attitude change. Little Johnny gets his report card. He goes home. He shows his mother. He has an A in math, an A in geography. He has all A's. But then the teacher writes in ink. He's a very good student, but his attitude is bad. He has a bad attitude. He's an A student, but his attitude is bad. He's not a very personality. So we have to change her attitude. From the attitude of enjoyment to the attitude of service. So when the warden sees our attitude change, when we start becoming a little humble, trinadapi sunichena, start respecting others, start surrendering, serving, when Durga sees a change of attitude, then she feels satisfied, and then she releases us from her grip. The boons received from Durga in the shape of wealth, dhanamdehi, janamdehi, etc. Wealth, property, health, recovery from illness, wife and sons, should be realized as the deluding kindness of Durga. In other words, money and property and good health and beautiful wife and husband and children, we should know that as the deceptive grace, the deceiving grace of Durga. The mundane physical jubilations of Dasa Mahavidya, the 10 goddesses or forms of Durga, are elaborated for the delusion of the fettered souls of the world. In other words, for the delusion of souls who are averse to serving Krishna, Durga manifests in the material world 10 different forms, which are known as Dasa Mahavidya, and she's showing, and through them she shows their worldly psychic pastimes. She exhibits different pastimes in the psychic world. There's a deity in Mathura called Mahavidya. She's very nearby the train tracks when you go there. When the first thing when you come into Vrindavan from Delhi, when you look out to the side, if you know what's going on, first thing you see is Durga's old, very old temple, a few hundred years old, out in the field. It's called Mahavidya Mandir. Then a little bit further beyond that, then there's the Janmasthan and the mosque and the Janmasthan. So when one's coming from outside of Vrindavan, coming by train, then at first he gets to take darshan of the temple and of Mahavidya. And when one goes to Mathura Parikrama, he will visit there and he will pray for Mahavidya to please, we don't want to see any of your 10 forms. Your Dasa Mahavidya, we don't want to see any of these type of forms or be bewildered by any psychic powers or anything that you have to offer. Please allow us to enter the land of Krishna solely and wholly for the purpose of his surrendered service. So I guess we can stop there and continue tomorrow about the jiva. Jiva is a spiritual atomic part of Krishna. So we'll continue there tomorrow. Any questions?
Yeah, in most places it says the only one that can give liberation is like Krishna. Especially Krishna gives liberation to the demons he kills. And no other demigod can give liberation. But Shiva is special because Shiva, Shiva has material aspects, 11 rudras
that are expanded. 11 rudras are those forms of Shiva, they can't give liberation. But Sadashiva can give liberation. So when you're worshipping Lord Shiva, Sadashiva is the greatest devotee of the Lord. You're worshipping him as Vaishnava Vanam Yata Shambhu, as the greatest devotee of the Lord. Then he has the power to give liberation, Sadashiva. That's why it's explained in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Sadashiva, he has the power to give, not only he can give bhakti and bhakti and liberation, both. Brahma can't give, Indra can't give, none, because they don't have the spiritual aspect. Because Sadashiva, Shiva has this aspect where he's own, it's like it's called Chaitanya. I didn't read those notes, I was speaking, it's kind of a summary of them. It's called Chaitanya Abbas, the identity of Sadashiva. I'll just read that. When we're talking about in the purport, it says the potency of Devi Dham in 43, back to 43. The potency of Devi Dham in the form of an extension of Maya, then like that sentence. This refers to Shivanga Abbas. This Shivanga Abbas, that means denoting Shankar or Lord Shiva. He is not Chit or full spiritual potency, and he is not material. He is Chaitanya Abbas, Chaitanya meaning Chit or spiritual. He is the dawning or reflection of the living or spiritual potency known as Chit Shakti. He is not Vibhinamsha, but he's almost. He's almost in the Vishnu Tattva. So penumbral, in the word, in the purport, there's the word penumbral. This means almost, partly, or shaded. So Shiva is not pure Swamsha, nor is he pure Vibhinamsha. So the Sadashiva, Shiva Tattva is very special. So when Shiva is acting from the Sadashiva platform, then he has the power to give liberation. But if Shiva is acting from the Shambhu platform or the platform of some devata of this material world, then it can't give liberation.